Hallelujah. I welcome you once again to this month's Elo service, Abundant Life Worship Experience service. We thank God for technology. We are gathered from different places, different countries, and we worship Him together. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? I am excited for the opportunity given me to be here. I'm excited for us coming together, all of us coming together in one accord to worship the Most High and to have fellowship. There is no distance in the spirit. We are not limited by distance. We are not limited by space. Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, He says, I will be right there in their midst. So we thank God for being in our midst. We know that by the end of it all, it will tell that we came before the presence of God. Oh, there is a sweet, 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 sweet anointing flowing in the atmosphere. And I know the Lord will do amazing things in our lives, and He will be gracious unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us take our 2025 confession, my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs, breakouts, and fresh oil. Hallelujah. One, two, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs, and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with my spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee. I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled and all luck is erased. My destiny is not aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvests, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began His work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order. This is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness, no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, the kingdoms are subdued. Mountains are removed. Promises are produced. And the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do. There is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life, he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, receive it. I receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please go ahead and take your seats. This morning, I am privileged to be ministering the word of God on the theme, fresh oil. Somebody say fresh oil. Fresh oil. Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Glory to God. Let me read it from the Amplified rendition. It says, but my horn, emblem of excessive strength and stately grace, you have exalted like that of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. Beloved, a unicorn or a wild ox is known for excessive strength. When your horn is exalted, it is an emblem of strength. It is an empowerment and an emblem of authority. Hallelujah. Now let's read that same scripture in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says, your anointing has made me strong and mighty. Glory to God. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. Thank you, Jesus. Beloved, Psalm 92 was written by David primarily as a song of praise, celebrating the goodness of God and the kindness of God, and also encouraging believers to express gratitude towards God. Then he makes a comparison between the righteous and the wicked. David likens the wicked to grass and the righteous flourishing like the palm tree and growing like the cedar in Lebanon. The palm tree and the cedars depict strength. These are trees that can withstand any environment, thrive everywhere, and under any circumstance. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is the anointing. That special grace upon your life makes all the difference. Child of God, whether it is in your ministry and business, parenting, career, or academia, the anointing makes the difference. You know, David was just a boy, about 17 years old, when he was anointed to be king. David encountered many challenges in his life, but by reason of the anointing, David was able to overcome every challenge and any attacks of the enemy. He also realized that for him to succeed as a king, he needed to be recharged on a daily basis. So he said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Notice, he did not say, I shall be anointed with oil. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. You see, I shall be anointed with oil. Could be canola oil, could be used oil, could be stale oil, rancid oil. But David was specific. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Beloved, oil, like any other thing, has expiration dates. Hello? When oil expires, it loses its taste, it loses its aroma, it loses its flavor, it loses and it becomes stale and rancid. Have you ever used old oil, stale oil, expired oil to cook food before? It destroys the taste of the food. The freshness of the food is destroyed. Oh, especially when you use oil that has been used to fry like fish, to fry donuts. Ooh, it tastes horrible. Horrible. Fresh oil makes food taste good. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Glory to God. Fresh oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and His anointing. Throughout the scriptures, we find fresh oil. Anointed with fresh oil. Anointed with oil. Anointed with fresh oil. It represents a renewed supply of God's grace. God's grace, God's divine presence and power in our lives. It is an empowering anointing. It is a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. It signifies revitalization. Fresh oil signifies an outpouring of God's grace and favor. Fresh oil rejuvenates and invigorates our lives. Fresh oil ignites our faith. Fresh oil equips us for divine purposes. Fresh oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalms 148 verse 14. I'm going to read that in two versions. He says, He has lifted up a horn for His people, giving them power. Watch this. Prosperity, dignity, preeminence. The anointing confers upon you power, prosperity, dignity, and preeminence. The Passion Translation says, He anoints His people with strength and authority, glory, showing His great favor to all His good lovers. The anointing is given unto His people. He releases His anointing unto His people. He releases that empowerment. He releases on us. So what is the anointing? Anointing. What is anointing? Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. We already said that anointing is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. you will receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. You shall receive power when the anointing comes upon you. The anointing is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit confers upon you the different graces and the ability to do what God has called you to do. The anointing is a symbol of consecration and a token of honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. And the anointing is for a purpose. Anytime the anointing is released, it is for a purpose. The anointing enables the believer to fulfill their God-given purpose and calling. Let's go back to Psalm 92, and this time we're reading it from the Amplified, not the classic though, Amplified. Watch this. It says, "But my horn, my emblem of strength and power, have you exalted like that of a wild ox? I am anointed with fresh oil for service." Did you see that? For service. I am anointed with fresh oil for service. I am anointed with fresh oil for God's service. The anointing is for service. It is an empowerment for service. Hallelujah. Throughout the Bible, we see so many individuals being anointed with oil before they embark on any mission or any significant assignment. Kings, priests, and prophets were anointed into office with oil. Elijah anointed Elisha as a prophet in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. And then Moses anointed Aaron as a priest in Leviticus chapter 8, from verse 10 to 12. Now, Samuel also anointed David as a king, 1 Samuel chapter 16. So people were anointed with oil. They were set apart, consecrated, and sanctified for God's purpose. David was out in the field, minding his own business, keeping his father's sheep, when the prophet Samuel showed up in his home to choose a king of Israel, the next king of Israel. Well, David had seven brothers. They all paraded before Samuel back and forth. But Samuel looked at them and said to David's father, "Jesse, it's not any of this, none of this, none of them qualify. Do you have another son somewhere?" Jesse said, "Yes, David is out there in the field keeping sheep, but I am sure it is not him." Can you imagine? His own father disqualified him, but God qualified him. Glory to God. He thought that David was too young. He thought that he was too small, not talented enough. But God does not judge the way people judge. While men look at outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Samuel said, "Go get him. We will not sit down until he comes." And when David came, Samuel looked at him. He said, "That's right. This is he. That's right. This is the one God has chosen. This is the one." So he anointed David, the next king of Israel. Let's read that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, verse chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. David was anointed king. But you know what? Even though the Spirit of God filled him, even though the Spirit of God was upon him, even though the Spirit of God abided with him, David went back to the field to keep his father's sheep. David continued to serve faithfully. And even served so faithfully. Do you know that? Some of us, the moment we get a little anointing over our head, we want to take off. We want to showcase it. Do you know me? I am anointed. I am the next bishop in town. You should respect me. I am. No, 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 no. David went back to keep sheep. Beloved, once we are able to show God, once we are able to show God that we can be faithful stewards of what he has entrusted into our hands, he will also entrust bigger things into our hands. Scripture says, he who is faithful with little shall be faithful with much. Luke chapter 10, 16 verse 10. With that anointing upon David's life, David went out and defeated Goliath. He became a national hero. With the anointing, he still served Saul faithfully. But Saul was jealous of him. He tried many times to kill the boy, and he did not succeed. Why? The anointing preserved his life. Oh, the anointing will preserve your life. Hallelujah. The anointing will preserve your life. It was not until Saul died when the two people, men from Judah, came and anointed David as king. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4. It says, and men, let's read that. And men came of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was the second time David was anointed. Then again, some elders came and anointed him king over Israel, the whole of Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. So the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. This was the third time David was anointed. Why would they do that? The boy was already anointed. Yes. Did the Spirit of God depart from him? No. David needed a renewal and refreshing to keep him going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. David needed fresh anointing. God knew David was going to go through, face new battles, new challenges, where he was going to need greater wisdom and greater strength. So God breathed fresh anointing, fresh oil, overflowing anointing on David's life. With this anointing, David ascended the throne and defeated many enemies, conquering new territories. Hallelujah. Every level has its own challenges. And so one needs fresh unction to keep going. The anointing enables you to fulfill destiny. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What for? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What for? Child of God, what are you anointed for? At conception, the Spirit of the Lord overshadowed his mother Mary, enabling her to carry seed, the seed of God. At baptism, Jesus was endued by power, with power, by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. In the wilderness, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was able to overcome the devil. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This was like Jesus reading his manifesto. Oh, do we hear many politicians reading manifestos and they are unable to fulfill those manifestos? Why? Because they don't have the anointing to perform. They don't. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And without the anointing, he couldn't have done anything. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And God was with him. Can you see that? Can you see what the anointing did in the life of Jesus and in the life of his ministry? The anointing empowered him to do. The anointing empowered him to heal the oppressed. Bible says, by reason of the anointing, burdens are lifted and the yokes shall be broken. Beloved, you have what it takes to break every bondage in your life. The Holy Spirit is the agent and dispenser of the anointing. Are you anointed? Yes, you are. How do I know that? The anointed one lives in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And I read that. Now, it is God who establishes both us and you in Christ. He anointed us, placed his seal on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a pledge of what is to come. Let me read that in the Passion Translation. Now, it is God himself who has anointed us, and he is constantly strengthening both you and us in union with Christ. He knows we are his, since he has also stamped his seal of love over our hearts and has given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring is given to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. The divine one lives in you. The divine one lives in me. The divine power flows through us. That divine power enables us to do. The power strengthens us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Child of God, you have the can-do spirit. Our ability and strength is in Christ Jesus. Somebody says, I have that can-do spirit. Glory to God. You are anointed. So stop it. Stop all this. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's impossible. Stop talking about impossibilities. You are anointed. You are empowered to do. You are empowered to live a fulfilled Christian life. Start talking possibility. Start talking about the anointing upon you and upon your life. Start talking about the supernatural ability that is upon you, the supernatural ability that you carry. You are a container that carries the anointing. Child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, take this on confession with me. I acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in me. I affirm that I have supernatural ability and I can do spiritual exploits in Jesus' name. I am not an ordinary person. No, I'm not. I am anointed with fresh oil, and the grace of God is sufficient for me in all situations and at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are anointed. What are you anointed for, child of God? John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Bible says, when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you shall be witnesses unto me. As I was sent, so send I you. You are sent with power. You are sent out there as witnesses. You are sent out there to do. Hallelujah. And you know, the same anointing that was on Jesus is on us. Do you know that? Okay. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. He says, "But we have an unction from the Holy One." That unction that you have received of him, that anointing abides within you. But you have been anointed. You have been anointed. You have been given an unction from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. You know all truth. And you know all things. The anointing is the unction from the Holy Spirit. It is an unction to function. Amen. The anointing is what propels you to do the impossible. The anointing quickens you. It enables you. It empowers you. It gives you the ability to do something. It gives you grace. Grace, grace, hallelujah. But you know, you must guard that anointing diligently. You need to guard that anointing diligently. You know, there's a difference between an anointed singer and singing. An anointed singing and singing. There is a difference between preaching and anointed preaching. There's a difference between having church and having an anointed service. What makes the difference? Is the anointing. The anointing makes all the difference. That unction upon you makes the difference. That unction upon you, the anointing will make your gift and the call of God upon your life become powerful and fruitful. It will make that call upon your life become powerful and fruitful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That means the anointing can also go stale. What makes the anointing stale? What makes the anointing stale? When people neglect the activity, or they neglect actively maintaining their relationship with God through prayer. When people disobey God, when pride sets in, when people become complacent, the anointing begins to fade. Many believers start very anointed, very powerful. But over time, the anointing begins to fade away. Before they realize, they have become stale and lukewarm. They lose their effectiveness. Let me give you an example again in the oil. You know, the oil in our car, the engine oil in your car, has an expiration date. I already said that oil has expiration date. Your car needs oil change every 3 months. And after every couple of thousands of miles, you need oil change. The oil change is removing the old dark oil from the engine, replacing it with new oil. Fresh oil. You see, it is the oil that works with the internal parts of the car to function. As you drive continually, your car and the parts in your car begin to rub against each other. They rub each other, then the force of friction creates heat. The oil lubricates the engine and it absorbs that heat so that the internal parts can work effectively. So the car doesn't overheat. Now, over time, the oil wears out and it becomes dirty and ineffective. The oil, the car then needs oil change. You know, some of us need oil change, man. The old oil has expired. We need oil change to be able to function properly. Let me give you this as an example. Saul was anointed with oil to become the first king over Israel. But the Spirit of God departed from him. Why? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and read a few scriptures from there. The Bible says that God sent Samuel to anoint him, King Saul, as the new king of Israel. So 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. And he, that is Kish. Kish had a son called Saul. So Kish had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Glory to God. Glory to God. A choice, goodly young man. Let me read that from the Voice translation. Kish had a handsome young son named Saul. Now, Saul was not only the most handsome man in Israel, but he was also the most imposing, standing taller than all others. The word imposing means he had an impressive body and dignity. Dude was a very handsome man, the most handsome in town. He was also the most imposing man who was taller than any other person in the land. My people will say Titola. They will call him Titola. Wow. Saul was fine, thick, dark, handsome, six-pack, well-built. The dream of most women. Every woman's choice. Every woman's spec. And God, he was God's also spec. Saul was God's spec. Saul was God's choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Saul was out there looking for his father's donkeys. And he met Samuel. And the Bible says when he met Samuel, Samuel told him, let's read that in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20 to 21. Jump to 20 to 21. And I'm going to read that in the easy to read version. It says, are you looking for donkeys? You are here looking for donkeys. The whole of Israel is looking for you. It says, and don't worry about the donkeys that you lost three days ago. They have been found. Now there is something that everyone in Israel is looking for, and that something is you. Hallelujah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Beloved, there is something that everyone is looking for. That something is you. You did not hear me. I said there is something. There is something that the whole world is looking for. There's something that Cleveland is looking for. There is something that the industry is looking for. There is a preacher that they are looking for, and that person is you. There is a gospel artist that they are looking for, and that person is you. There is a praise leader that they are looking for, and that person is you. That something is you. God has deposited something in you, child. God has deposited something in you. That grace upon your life is what the world is looking for. That talent that God has given you, that gift that God has given you, the expertise, that is what they are looking for. Everybody is looking for it. You're hot in the market, you know, they're looking for you. And you are here looking for donkeys. Looking for what? Looking for donkeys. Let's just stay there. They are looking for you. God is looking for you. So I said, who, me? They are looking for me for what? Why are they looking for me? I come from a very small, insignificant town. My family is so insignificant in the town, and I myself, I'm the least. Why are you looking for me? Beloved, you may see yourself as insignificant, but the anointing of God upon your life will make you significant. The anointing will bring you from obscurity into significance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. And read that. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And do you know, Samuel did not even dignify him with a response. He invited him for dinner. And after dinner, he asked him to let his friend excuse them, for he had a word for them. Samuel told him, God will anoint you with fresh oil and make you king over Israel. And so immediately, Samuel anointed Saul. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him. He became another man. Let's read that. Ladies, the anointing made the difference. That is 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let's read 10 and 11. It says, and when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Beloved, immediately the anointing oil was poured upon him. The Spirit of God rested upon him. The Spirit of God dwelt in him. The Spirit of God began to move in his life. The Spirit of God made him another person. The Spirit of God gave him utterance. He started prophesying, unveiling some divine truths. Glory to God. That is fresh anointing, divine empowerment, supernatural ability, supernatural grace. God gave him a different heart, another heart. May the Lord give you another heart. The Spirit of God came upon him. He prophesied. The people now started asking questions. They saw a different Saul. They saw something different about Saul. The anointing made the difference in his life. The anointing made him a better person. May the anointing of God upon your life make you a better person in the name of Jesus. But now, you know, even though Saul started off very well, uniting the tribes of Israel, fighting battles and winning battles, his character, self-exaltation, pride, deception, impatience, disobedience made God reject him. Saul was still a king, but then God had left him and he didn't know. My people will say, your beauty will take you into marriage, but your character will bring you back. Mercy, Lord, have mercy on us. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. He was still king, but the anointing had faded. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1 says, dead flies will cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking odor. Dead flies in the perfume make it stink. Dead flies in the anointing make it stale. Dead flies will cause the ointment upon your life. The ointment, that perfume, it will cause it to be stale. It will give a vile odor. You could be anointed, yes. But when you allow pride, sin, self-exaltation, deception, disobedience, jealousy, anger, bitterness, when you allow them to consume you, you attract flies. And that will cause the anointing to stink. Sin will cause the anointing to fade away. Pride and disobedience will cause it to fade away. Saul was so prideful. Pride hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit. Pride hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit. And that's how Saul lost it. Now look, let's look at another person in the Bible, Samson. Samson. Samson was one of the best known judges in Israel. The man was gifted with incredible strength. Samson was a Nazarite, a man set apart, consecrated unto the Lord. You remember, I told you that the anointing, when you're anointed, you are separated, you are set apart, you are consecrated, you are sanctified for the Lord, for the master's use. Samson was not supposed to drink alcohol, strong drinks. Samson was not allowed to cut off his hair. Right from childhood, the Bible says the Spirit of God was upon him. Let's read that in Judges chapter 13. Verse 24 and 25. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The Spirit of God began to move. Samson began to experience the flow of the Holy Spirit at a very tender age. The Spirit began to stir within him. The Spirit empowered him with so much strength. Now, you know Samson, let's talk about his achievements and his successes. Samson was the one who killed a lion with his bare hands. Samson killed, let's read that. So you don't think I'm just telling story. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. Samson was the one who killed a lion with his bare hands. Bare hands. Who does that? Bare hands. You know, many believers run at the roar of the devil. The Bible says he's a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. He's just like a roaring lion, roaring. Samson didn't run. The anointing upon him enabled him to stand and to kill the lion. I don't know which lion is roaring at you. I don't know what challenges you face in life. But you have the anointing of God to face any adversary, to face the lion and the adder. You have the anointing to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Why are you running, child of God? Why are you running? The other day, somebody told me, I dreamt that a goat was chasing me. I said, kill it and eat it. He said, ah. I said, yeah. What happened to Luke chapter 10, verse 19? Behold, I give you power. Power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What happened to that? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You are anointed. You are empowered to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Or maybe they didn't write. They didn't add goats. And so you don't know that you can kill the goat. My dear, kill that goat. Hallelujah. Samson was the same man who killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. Who does that? Somebody say the anointing. The anointing. Okay, let's read that. And then you know that I'm not just saying what I like. Judges 15, verse 14. And when he had come to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Another lion roaring. You see that? And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as a flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loose from his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, a donkey, and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. 1,000 men. 1,000 Philistines in one day. These people had arms. They had armor. Samson was the same man who carried the city gates to the mountain. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. One day, one day while Samson was in Gaza, he saw a prostitute and went to her house to spend the night. See, he broke the laws. Samson is breaking the laws. The people who lived in Gaza found out he was there, and they decided to kill him at sunrise. So they went to the city gate and waited all night in the guard rooms on each side of the gate. But Samson got up in the middle of the night and went to the town gate. He pulled the gate doors and doorposts out of the wall and put them on his shoulders. Then he carried them all the way to the top of the hill that overlooks Hebron, where he set the doors down, still closed and locked. Powerful man of God. Powerful man set apart for God's use. But you know, unfortunately, pride crept into his heart. Samson's weaknesses and bad decisions brought him down. Samson broke all the rules. Samson's relationship with Delilah ended in betrayal. Delilah persuaded him to reveal his secrets, the secrets of his strength. Cutting off his head, that is cutting off his head. And that led to him being captured by the Philistines. The Bible says Delilah kept bothering him. "He wearieth me, worrying Samson," to tell him the secret, to tell her the secret of his strength. And you know what? This woman kept whining. "Oh, you don't love me anymore. Oh, you don't care about me anymore. Oh, now you're hiding secrets from me. Since when did you start hiding secrets from me? What are you hiding from me? Yada, 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 yada." Bible says Samson got tired. She did that several times. Samson got tired of her. And then finally, he revealed his secret to this woman. In verse 17 of Judges chapter 16, Bible says, "Finally, Samson told Delilah everything. And he said, 'I have never had my hair cut. I was dedicated to God before I was born. I was dedicated to God before I was born.'" What is your business? What is your business with somebody with an unclean spirit? What is your business? What is your business? He says, "If someone shaved my head, I will lose my strength and I will become as weak as any other man." Then Samson got him to sleep and shaved his hair. He got him to sleep. Do you know that she took money from the Philistines? Women and money. Women and money. Verse 19. Delilah got Samson to sleep with his head laying in her lap. Then she called in a man to shave off the 7 braids of Samson's hair. In this way, she made Samson weak and his strength left him. Then Delilah called out to him, "Samson, the Philistine men are going to capture you." He woke up and thought, "I will escape as I did before and free myself." But Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. You know, Samson thought he could depend on yesterday's anointing. Yesterday's anointing was for yesterday. Today has its own challenges. And that is why you need an infilling of the Holy Spirit every day. Infilling of the Holy Spirit. So scripture says the Philistines captured him, chained him, binded him, and imprisoned him. Then they humiliated him, made him a slave, grinding the corn, mocking him. They plugged out his eyes. He became the source of entertainment
And God is God. And he couldn't do anything about it. But then he repented and he prayed, Lord, Father, have mercy upon me. Father, give me strength one more time. Father, give me strength one more time. And so God, in his infinite mercy, empowered him one more time so that he could perform. Beloved, many believers today are operating, preaching, and singing without the anointing. And they don't know. But bless God, God empowered Samson. And with all his strength, he kneeled against the two pillars that held the temple, pushed it together, and then he killed himself and all the people who were there in that process. He said, let me die. Let me just die with these people. Let me just die with these people. Samson was gifted with incredible strength. But he did not value the anointing upon his life. He did not put premium on the anointing. He did not honor the oil on his life. He took it for granted. He abused it and he used it to show off rather than glorify God. Samson could not protect the anointing. He should have run. He should have run from Delilah. Beloved, you cannot defeat your demons. You can't defeat your demons if you are still enjoying their company. You didn't hear that. You cannot defeat your demons if you are still enjoying their company. The people you associate with is very important. What is rubbing off of you? What is rubbing onto you from other people around you? Proverbs chapter 12 verse 26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Be careful who you choose as a friend. Certain company you keep can corrupt the anointing upon your life. Guard it. Scripture says, guard your heart. Guard your emotions. Guard your decisions. Choose your friends wisely. You just don't marry any man. You just don't marry any woman. Some women are demons in skirts. Some men are demons in suits. And even in the clergy, we have demons in clergy suits. Bible says these people have, they have frog-like spirits. And they are operated by those frog-like spirits, healing and doing miracles. And then we follow them. Some of us follow them. Who are you following? Be careful who you follow. Be careful. Frog-like spirits. You find that in Revelation chapter 16, verse 8. It says they have frog-like spirits. And they preach and they perform miracles. My dear, guard it. Who are you following? Under what unction are they operating? Let's leave that alone. Beloved, we encounter Delilah every day. We encounter Delilah every day, every day. Who always will do her best to exploit our weaknesses. Run like Joseph from Mrs. Potiphar. Keep your focus on the goal and on your assignment. We always also encounter lions. But the Bible says, by reason of the anointing, you are empowered to stand against the enemy and defeat him. Like Samson, at times, we think we can handle Delilah on our own. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can handle this. Oh, I got this. What we don't know is that God already left. What Samson didn't know was that God already left him. You can't lean on yesterday's anointing. You need fresh anointing, fresh oil, fresh unction, fresh grace for every day. The Bible says the mercies of God are new every morning, new every day, new mercies. Fresh oil every day. Fresh oil implies that it must be an ongoing thing. It must be continuous, a continuous process of being filled with the Holy Spirit. of being filled and being renewed. You need freshness. The apostles were filled. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that they were filled when they were with one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit came in as a mighty rushing wind and filled them. In Acts chapter 4, we still read where Peter was being filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostles were always being filled. We always have to have a being filled experience. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled. Peter was filled. Peter was filled. The Holy Spirit gave the apostles the utterance, the power to preach the resurrection, to preach the risen Christ, to preach salvation, to preach the good news. And Bible says, great was the grace upon their life. Great was the grace upon. That's the unction. So throughout their book of Acts, we see all this being filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. It was not just a one-time experience. It was an ongoing renewal. Jesus was anointed, but then he always went up to the mountain to be filled, to be empowered, to be renewed, to be invigorated, to be refreshed. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, not once in a while, so that we can fulfill and accomplish our assignments for each day, so that we can fulfill our God-given purposes. Hallelujah. Let me read Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be being filled with the Spirit." Be being filled with the Spirit. That's conscious, continuous action, ongoing experience, daily experience, fresh anointing. Now let me say, as believers, our relationship with God can feel dry, empty, and lack freshness. At times we just feel stillness in our life. We realize that we lack the zeal to keep going. And so we need newness. We need a refreshing from the Holy Spirit. We need a being filled experience. Now, how do we experience? How do we receive a fresh anointing daily? We must spend time. Spend time in God's presence every day. Spend time, number one, spend time in God's presence every day. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Desire the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with Him. Spend more time in prayer, seeking God. Abide in Him and in His Word. Live in Him. Be rooted in Him. Child of God, be rooted in Christ, be rooted in the Holy Spirit. Abide in Him. Point number two, how do we receive fresh oil? By praying with and in the Holy Spirit. Jude says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Beloved, when your phone battery goes off, you recharge it, right? That's what we do. When we pray in tongues, our spirits are charged up. That's what happens when we pray in the Spirit. Our spirits are charged up. Sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it's not disobedience. Sometimes we are just tired. We are spiritually bent out. We are spiritually exhausted. We are spiritually drained. We need the anointing to give us zeal to keep going. Jesus never sinned, but every day he went before the presence of God to be filled, to be recharged. I don't know where you are in your journey of faith. Are you bent out? Are you spiritually exhausted? Are you dry? Still? Tasteless. Did you lose your favor? Your savor? Do you need restoration of God's presence? Do you need a renewal? The Bible says times of refreshing are in the presence of God. Time. times of refreshing, to be refreshed, to be revived, to be invigorated, to be energized. Some of us, our engine check light is on. It is time for servicing. It is time for oil change. We all need oil change so we can walk in the newness and the freshness. Freshness and newness. Freshness and newness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Wherever you are, I want you to stand to your feet and let us pray. Father, let there be an outpouring of your spirit. Pour fresh oil upon us. Ask God, come on, come on. Ask God to fill you with fresh oil. Ask God to take away used oil. Ask God to take away old wine. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to equip you. Ask God to prune you. Ask God to preserve you. Ask God to empower you to do exploits. Come on, come on, come on. Go ahead, go ahead. Ask God, ask God, ask God, ask God, ask God, ask God. Lord, fill us, Lord. Maria Tada Mazuki Abahandoro Mosikianda. Lord, fill us, Lord, with fresh oil. Pour fresh oil upon us today. Father, strengthen us, equip us, empower us, fill us with zeal and passion, Lord. Exalt our horns like the horn of the unicorn. Anoint us afresh, O God, with fresh oil. May we be filled with strength and stately grace. Father, we long, O God, for fresh oil. We long for fresh anointing. Your tangible grace, O God, let it fall upon us. Fill us with your tangible grace. Fill us with your oil. Fill us. Let the Spirit of God come mightily upon us in the name of Jesus. From this day forth, refresh us, O God. Fill us with new oil. Fill us with fresh oil. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, consecrate us, O God. Empower us to do exploits. In the name of Jesus, exploits for the kingdom, Lord. We receive fresh anointing. We receive fresh empowerment. We receive fresh enablements in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we receive fresh oil to win souls. We receive fresh oil to preach the gospel to the poor. We receive fresh oil to prophesy. We receive fresh oil to heal and to deliver. Oh, and even to raise the dead. We receive oil. Bible says, when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you will receive power. Let the Holy Spirit anoint us afresh. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen.